Welcome to our May Q7 call. Our guest today is Lucy Ham, and we had a little technical problem. So Lucy is trying to get that fixed. So, when some fun stuff happens, we just make do and keep right on going, right? So, Dee, as soon as Lucy is able to jump, there she is.
Good
Thank you.
morning.
You made it. Welcome.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, this is the second week in a row I get to see you. Last week
I
in person.
know. This is
Yeah.
life is good. Life
Life
is
is
good.
good. So, Lucy, for all of our attendees, if you would take a minute and just introduce yourself, let everyone know where you work, the volume of transactions you do, and how long with MFO. That would be a really great start.
Okay, Lucy Ham. I'm with Ham Group Realty here. It's our team. And so I've been with Mike Ferry 22, 25 years. So this year is going to be the goal of 190. It was really hard for me to push back from like 220, 290, all of that. But I just took the plunge in. It's really the right thing to do because I'm exceeding my goals now. So I just figured out after 40, 50 years that I need to have my goals be less than I can do because then I will do more. So I learned that about myself.
Well, that's a great thought. Lucy, the first question I'm going to ask you is not the first question of Q7, but I'm going to just take a slight deviation based on something you just said. There are so many people right now, especially experienced agents, who are struggling with the mindset of working right now. They're like, they're tired, they're done, they just don't want to do it, and their mindset is dragging them down. And I love the fact that you just said you brought your goal down to 190, and now you are exceeding your goal, which makes you excited. So, first of all, how do you keep that passion for the business after 40 or 50 years?
To be honest, at about the 20, whenever I met Mike, whenever I started to hear about Mike, I was going to be done because I was doing about 120 transactions myself, and I had a half a day assistant. Nobody had assistants back then. That was just abnormal. So, being the amiable that I am, I didn't know what to do. So I was about to quit, and actually that's when I met Mike Ferry and learned about that and got into coaching. So, I'm excited every day about that. Part of it is being thankful. Part of it is, I have choices. I could not show up or get another job or something like that. But I think having choices is a big deal. And I have a team around me that is just very accommodating and helps us. I mean, it's actually we. It's really not a single sport over here. It's really a lot of help from a lot of people.
Well, that's great. I love the fact that you said you have choices. A bunch of you know that Mike and I are trying to be a ping pong ball, and we're bouncing from coast to coast to coast to coast. And last night we flew back from Fort Lauderdale to the West Coast. And you're right, it is a choice. Every morning you get up and you choose whether or not you want to play at a high level or whether you want to pull the covers over your head and stay in bed. And life is too short to pull the covers over your head. So let me go back to our actual question, so I'm not we have enough time to cover everything. Could you share with everybody what your average day is like?
Yeah, I have a new average day the last few months. And my new average day is I'm at the office by 7. I make my calls from 8 to 10. Then I, say hi to everybody around here, try to give them one word of encouragement each. And until 12 o'clock, I try to get the paperwork, the market analysis started, return calls, all of that. And then afternoons are appointments. And since I start at 7, sometimes if I am done at 3 or 4, I do go home. It's just my reward to me.
But you're in there at 7 a.m.
7
Monday through
a.m.
Friday?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty impressive because you don't have to be. And yet you show up every day from 7 a.m. onward. Good job, Lucy. A few of us are kind of going, maybe we have to up
Well,
our game a little bit. So what would
yeah,
you say is your big,
this 3 years.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So the beginning of this year was difficult, and it's hard to get listings, and our business was way down. So I just decided to try something different. It's working, and I'm going to continue it.
Good
So
for
yeah.
you. So showing up early and putting it all in before noon. I love it.
Yeah.
What is the biggest obstacle that you feel that you face right now?
I am easily distracted, and I think I don't want to miss out on anything. I have a hard time closing my door. I'm kind of an open door person. I have a hard time closing my door for those 2 hours. I feel guilty, and it's hard for me to close my door. And really, when the door is closed, they rarely knock on the door. But if it's open, they'll just stand there at the door. And what, no matter what you're doing, it is a distraction. You just have to stop everything. And that time, the time it takes for you to get back to it, and then you get disgusted with yourself. I mean, that's my biggest obstacle.
I love the fact that I think everybody can relate to what you're just saying. You really do have to carve out that time that is, it's just time to do the things that you have to do. And you're right, people will just
Absolutely.
come to your door and, how you doing, Lucy? Or have a conversation or whatever it is. Just think about the amount of wasted time.
It was like Mike was saying in a management retreat, how when you're in a football team, you do the same thing every day, every day, every day, every day. And then it builds a belief in yourself that this is what you have to do to be successful. And it's just totally like that.
And it really is. And I think that there are a lot of people who, at the management retreat we had at the West Coast one was Gino Blafari, and he made a comment of people give up way too often. They stop too soon. If they would just keep their momentum going, as you just said, you develop that belief that becomes stronger and stronger, and then it's just something you have to do. I don't know many people who, at this age in our lives, we have a hard time remembering to brush our teeth. We've done it for our entire lives, and you just sort of go, yes, this is what we do. So that's interesting. So how do you manage your, like your morning sounds like it's pretty well managed. What about your afternoon? Because a lot of us know that you have some interesting things in your schedule.
Yeah, so I mean, like today, I have no appointments this afternoon. I kind of dread getting on the phone again. I do have some extra things I do, a couple lunch hours a week, but they're not necessarily lunch hour. They might be one or three or whatever. I do go to the jail lobby and just visit with people to encourage people that have incarcerated family there. And I don't know what that doesn't give me business. Obviously, I'm not getting business from prisoners, but
Well, as Mike says, they really do want
they really do. Yeah,
move.
but it is it's a good heart. It's a good thing for my heart. Yeah.
And I think that's really important. Do you happen to have your little thing with you that you showed us at lunch?
No, I don't. I don't have it with
Oh,
me.
shoot. We're going to save that because I'm going to do a little interview with sometime where you can explain that because I think that was just so impressive. And everybody else, just stay tuned for this. We'll send you a short little video of Lucy explaining the, some of you already know what it is. So how do you deal with your day if your day gets off track or, the morning, like today, I'm taking you off your morning schedule. Well, actually it's lunchtime there, so hopefully I'm good. But how do you deal with it
Yeah, we're
when
good.
things come
We're
along
good.
that do take you off your schedule?
I guess, it's always, there's always priorities. My priorities are, the people that want to list their house, lead follow-up, all of those things. I have a planner, the Franklin planner is like, this side is where I have to show up, and this side is all the other people I have to call. And there's always a list of lead follow-up, and you don't always find them. They call you back. So there's calls coming in. Sometimes people come in, call the front desk, and they want to list their home. And the front desk, does the SCI seller counseling interview, kind of like a pre-qual, and just sets the appointment. They just set the appointment Friday at 4 or whatever it is, whatever they want. And I call them back, do the pre-qual, and quite often reschedule the appointment if it works. But I would be. It's not correct that I'm on my schedule all the time, and I do show up for every listing appointment. I'm never late. I show up for those. Do I show up for prospecting every day? Sometimes I'm off. I'm just not perfectly on.
Well, and I think sometimes that striving for perfection is exactly why you don't want to do it the next day. It's you get to be so hard on yourself. And I used to coach someone who if she couldn't start at 9 a.m., she wouldn't start at all for the day. So it never got into her head that you could actually start at 9:30 and do an hour and a half instead of 2 hours, but to always do something to try and make your business move forward. So you just deal with that as it comes and you're committed to your goals. So some days are perfect, some days are not.
Yeah, and something that's really helped me, we try now to have all I try to have all my meetings, my office meetings on Wednesday. So 10:30 is my coaching call. 11 is our buyer agent meeting. We call it the Elevate. 11:30 is our level up meeting for our whole staff. And then 1 o'clock we meet with our office manager. 1:30 is role play. I mean, we just stack them up
Wow.
and
Okay,
we
so you mentioned
just have
like a
them
level
like
up
all
meeting.
right in a row. Because we're having, this and that meeting. So if somebody's, it's Wednesday, that's what we try for and almost always works.
Good. And do you find that that's enough management for your team? Because I think a lot of people probably overmanage their teams or their assistants. I don't know if it's on
Wednesday and
my end or.
Friday, all the team is together. Oh, yeah, I don't either. We have role play Wednesday and Friday at 1:30, but we have an office manager that I hand off everything that doesn't really have to do with listings, or that I have to show up for. So handing that off to her has been a huge help. She's very willing. And actually we weren't getting through our database. So we have our listing manager, closing manager, receptionist, and our office manager make an hour of calls every day to our database to just like get caught up. So, those are really helpful because I couldn't get through them all.
How big is your database?
15,000.
Bravo, Lucy. Okay, so you have enlisted help from your staff to call them. Great
Yes.
idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have someone that comes in every day from 9 to 1 that's all she does is call the database. And then, but she was getting behind. So then the other staff members have stepped in to help with that. I call active listings, I call pendings, I call people that come to my mind because I don't know, I just have a little bit of instinct. And then quite often they say, oh, we were just going to call you. But those are the main people that I call.
So most of your database is handed off to your staff.
Yes, very, very much so. Yep. I make the call to the customer. Our closing manager does it 7 days after closing. I do it 30 days after closing. It's on our RealVolve management. It tells me call so and so and thank them for the closing. Yep.
Good. So you still have personal contact with each of your clients. That's
Yeah.
smart.
Yeah, not too much after the 30 days though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's them. But they say Lucy asked me to call. Lucy and Justin asked me to call.
Yeah.
Kind of what are your plans for 2024? Do you want to, are you thinking about upgrading or downsizing or investing? Like, well, how can we help you?
That's a great question. I bet a lot of people are writing that one down. So, Lucy, assuming you ever get into overwhelm, how do you handle that?
Yeah, well, there's a couple things I do. I mean, I could just get in my car and drive, which helps me. Sometimes I stop somewhere, but sometimes I don't. I just drive. I might get a Diet Coke or something. I mean, I'm kind of simple. But also, I might call my sister Christy, because she's a consultant for lots of physicians and stuff, and she's got to deal with physicians, which is really a difficult thing with a lot of ego, and staff. She goes in and she gets a call from that physician's office. She goes and she reorganizes their office, gets them all set up, gets people hired, fired, resituated. And so, I mean, I call her because she has kind of a, well, she's a CPA, so she's more analytical. She has this kind of a straight and narrow, this happened to me the other day, and this is what I do. I mean, maybe try that, She's a good sounding board, and it's kind of a love sounding board too,
That's
She actually gives a rip.
what a nice thing
Yeah.
to have someone in your life that you can just reach out to and simply say, "Ah, I'm an overwhelm," or "This is happening." You know, for me, it's easy
Yeah.
with Mike because he'll just look at me and go, "No, we don't do that." But that's not the same for everybody, and sometimes you
No.
need a person to talk to.
Well, I have five sisters, and so there's three of us. They call the little girls, and three the older girls. So I'm one of the little girls at my age, but probably four, or pardon me, three of the sisters. If I called them, they're like, I would, I mean, every time I talk to them, they're like, you should slow down. I'm like, oh, well, like, what does that mean? Well, you should just slow down, So that is not encouraging. That is
No.
like, that's a negative, So, not everybody has the mindset of like, whatever you're doing, it's okay. Just do what you want to do.
That's interesting that you would bring that up because obviously family and not necessarily being supportive of what you want to accomplish, it's so easy to say, "Oh, you should be slowing down."
Yeah,
And
you work too hard.
yeah, I've
Yeah.
never quite understood that. If you're moving forward, isn't that what's great and what we want to be doing is thriving? So that's interesting that you'd say that. So you just don't call those sisters when it's a challenging
No.
day. No.
Nope, not those.
That's great. You know, for all of the people who listen to this call, it's interesting to me to see how much the same we all are at all of our levels. Like, I think everybody has somebody in their life that they love or care about who may not be the best support. We all seem to have overwhelm at various levels, and you know, it's a struggle for these things. So, question number five is always, how do you build your mindset? How do you strengthen that? Because you have a
Yeah.
very calming way about you. You're a rock. You are someone that we all look at and go, "Yeah, you never seem frazzled, any of that stuff." How do you do that, Lucy? How do you build your mindset?
Well, a couple of things. I really do feel that there is always one more solution. No, like everything failed, the deal's dying, everybody's back. There's always one more thing to do. And our staff too, like, there's got to be one more thing. There's got to be one more thing. And really, it's never say never, yeah, I mean, sometimes there's a dead end, but not very often. And I totally feel, so I get emotional about God things, but I mean, he's in charge. I'm still alive today, and so there's a lot of things to do, places to go, people to see, things to do. And he's in charge. So I do say out loud every day, many times, I trust you. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you. So, it sounds simple, but it works for me.
Well, and you know what? I think that is one of the things that has always drawn me to you, Lucy, is as simple as it sounds to say, "I trust you, Lord, I trust you, Jesus," it's such a hard thing to do. And we want to be in control of everything. And when we just finally take a step back and give it back to him, it's life is so much easier. You don't have to control everything. And by the way, for most of us who do try and control things, it rarely works out the way we want it to. So we can save ourselves a lot of stress by following Lucy's advice.
But what I know is like the enemy, he doesn't know your heart. He doesn't know your heart. I mean, only
Yeah.
God knows your heart. So if you say out loud, "I trust you, Jesus," I mean, the enemy is like, "Well, I guess I'm not going to mess with her today." I mean, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
So as long as I say that out loud, I've taken my stand, and he needs to just get out of here.
Well, and it's having that faith and being able to move forward. I can tell you from my own experience, there have been enough times where it's like, I'm going to fix this. Oh, no, I'm not. And it for all of us who are exhausted, both mentally, physically, all of that stuff, that generally comes from us trying to fix everything. And sometimes it's all about just letting go and saying, you know what? This is not in my hands, and let go. And that is a really hard lesson to learn. And yeah, it seems like it's a daily thing to learn. Do you find
It
that
is.
too?
Oh yes, I you just we just have to keep teaching ourselves and keep reading and keep listening and keep absorbing anything positive you find. Just keep absorbing it and keep remembering and keep saying it. Read it out loud. If you read it out loud, odds of remembering it are way better.
Interesting. So do you read out loud every day?
I do. And you know what? So if I'm reading a scripture, I've just I think it's important to pray the scriptures. And so, with like a, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, blah, blah, blah. So I try to read it slow and say, "Thank you, Lord, that you're my shepherd. Thank you that I shall not want. Thank you that you lead me through green pastures." Those are all promises. And so I just claim them. That works for me, and I think it's true.
Well, I have to tell you, there is, and I'm not going to get it exactly right, but there is one scripture there that every time I come across it, I start to laugh. And it starts off with, "Have I not commanded you to like let go?" And it's like, I think that one's for me. This is, God finally looking at me going, "Hey, pay attention down there." But yeah, that is to read it out loud and to take the time. And I'll tell you, I guess if I was reading something out loud, I'd be more focused as well.
You read it slower rather than just like, zoop, I'm done with that.
That's a really good point. That's something that I will certainly take from this call and do for myself in that sense. Just sometime. How much time do you take to read every day?
20 minutes, probably 20 minutes in the morning.
Do you do it in the morning before you come to work, or do you just find some time?
My pajamas.
Oh, okay. So when you get up, do you have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and read?
No, I just walk out of bed, sit in my special chair, and do my reading, and it kind of brings me to life. So I think it's important not to go look at my emails and texts and everything first thing every day. And I've been
Right.
just writing down the night before like 3 to 5 things that are priority today. Like that's it. So all I have to do is like walk out the door, read my priorities, and it just starts to flow,
That's a great piece of advice. And it too sounds so very simple, and so many people never do that, is writing down 3 to 5 things that you have to do the next day. Without question, those are the ones you have to get done. And then, as you said, the day just kind of flows.
Yeah, sometimes it's call the doctor, get a new prescription. I
Yeah.
mean, sometimes it's drive past 123 C Street and see if, I mean, it's some of it's important, some of it's not, but I've got to do it. And then when I get home, I don't feel guilty if I've done those 3 to 5 things. Then I have no guilt.
Huh. Okay, so repeat that one for all of us who are PhDs in carrying guilt and burden. Say that one more time.
So as long as I've done those 3 to 5 things, when I get home, I have no guilt. I mean, I feel like I've accomplished what I set out to do, even though there was 20 other things I did in between and during and whatever. But you know, I crossed five things out or three things out.
Yeah.
So.
And you did what was on your list. And I love the fact that you say even a doctor's appointment or, picking something up that you have to, because sometimes for me, my to-do list at 9 p.m. feels like it's 50 things. And then at the end of tomorrow night, it will be 60 things. And yet you're busy all day and you just don't always, you're not always busy getting the things done. You're just busy.
Yeah.
So that's an
True.
interesting thing. So, Lucy, of all the
True.
advice or the things, like if we sat down individually and I said to you, what is the one piece of advice you would give me that I could take forward? What would you say?
Yeah. I this comes to mind, but it doesn't always just generate what it needs to generate. But you know, our other realtors are our number one source of business. So last month, you know, our goal is to double dip half our listings, which we haven't done that in a long time. But so last month we double dipped 14%, right? But our other realtors are our best source of business. And our whole staff knows, you know, we teach them, we help them, we're kind to them, even though they're mean, sometimes mean, nasty, you know, accuse us of things. But, you know, if we're teaching, we're telling, it's the right thing. I mean, the truth, you know, truth does a lot. And, you know, we have a lot of realtors that say, I'm so excited to show you listings. You know, your office always helps me. So, you know, many of them appreciate it because, you know, they haven't all been in business very long.
Yeah.
Some this is our first deal or their fifth deal. If you do five deals a year every other month, I mean, you don't really know what you're doing half the time. So they really are our best customers. And the other thing I was thinking about is, you know, just always in negotiating, you know, just to negotiate really strong, to like ask great questions, like, oh, so that's what you want. So what would that do for you? So what would that do for you? You know, both sides have to, they have to win in the end, or there's no accepted offer. But to be able to listen, ask, you know, what are the details, and just to negotiate really strong until you get a yes. You know, maybe we could do this, maybe we could do that. You know,
Yeah, I
yeah.
love the way you just said both sides have to win because, nobody ever
They
feels
do.
good about something if they just go ahead and sign and then they feel like they were taken advantage of or they lost or all of that. And you're right, there generally is a way to find at least a compromise that is not as painful as what they thought it was going to be. So
Yeah.
that's great advice in finding that bridge. Be a bridge builder. Find how to allow both sides to win. So that's a good piece of advice. All right. So if are you reading any books right now that you would recommend to the group? That's always sort of my bonus question.
Yeah. So I've just finished reading Discipline is Destiny. Discipline is Destiny. Who is that by again? I'm trying to think. Hardy. I think it's by Hardy.
Okay.
I'm also reading Frederick Douglass, all of his speeches. He was an abolitionist, a great orator. And he always told the African American people, you know what, we're going to be united. It's going to be okay. We're going to do it. I mean, he fought for freedom alongside President Lincoln, but reading his speeches, like they were long. I don't know how people sat that long to listen to him, but they're really interesting. You know, I mean, it just gives you a new perspective on where they had to come from, you know, now. You know, the other thing is always Jesus Calling in the morning. You know, it's like a one-page devotional. And then on Thursday nights, I have a 7 o'clock Thursday night women. It's just women across the nation. Some of them on our call now here. We just do one chapter, Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. And she
Oh,
has
good.
two or three page chapters, and we just discuss one chapter, you know, one chapter. And it's just been really good because it's just participation. And Battlefield of the Mind is a big battlefield, you know. So there's always a lot to talk
Indeed.
about, but it's been good. Been really
You know
good.
what, Lucy? I have to tell you that, and I knew this about you anyways, which was one of the reasons why I was so excited that you agreed to be our guest for May. But the one thing I will take away from this little interview is the fact You're always learning. You're excited about your life. You've done this for a long time, and you are going forth as a beacon, not as a dying ember. You are just looking for a way of making a difference. And boy, I'll tell you what, I have taken a lot of great things away from this call, and I'm very, very thankful for the fact that you did that. We always start on time and we end on time, and it has just gotten to the top of the hour. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Lucy. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this. So
You
we'll
are
see you,
welcome.
everyone, next week or next month.
Great.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you all. Thank
We'll
you.
see you
Thank
all.
you, Lucy.
You're
Thank
welcome.
you.